Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Barrett Inn Pod, part of the 1012 Podcast Network and partner with Sports Social Podcast Network. I'm Matt Workman, and today, back, it's Joe Goodman. Joe, you feeling better?
Yeah, you know, we're getting there. God, the voice is still a little bit scratchy, but we're hanging in. I had to come back before Matt Squared took over.
Yeah. High in demand. Between two mats.
Between two mats. There you go.
How's the rodeo? Everything still busy, I'm sure.
Dude, I'm pretty sure I walked about 20 miles plus on Friday and Saturday last week. Like, it was just out and about doing stuff, working over there. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of busyness. So yeah, like I was there from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday. I was there from like noonish to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and then me and Kelly took Teddy up there to hang out on Sunday, which was super cool. He got to ride a horse for the first time, so he absolutely loved that. But yeah, and then I'm back all weekend this weekend and all weekend next weekend, so my weekends are like completely taken up.
When is like the official start of the rodeo? Like,
so the first day of rodeo was Tuesday last week.
Okay. And it goes through.
It runs through March 17th.
March 17th.
It's like okay. The 27th through the 17th. Something like that. It's 3 weeks long. Okay. And then right before rodeo starts. So it starts on a Tuesday. But then the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the weekend before is World's Championship Barbecue Cook-Off, which is put on by the rodeo.
Okay.
So like, it's 3+ weeks of just straight everything over at NRG Park, which is NRG Stadium where the Texans play. That's where the rodeo is. And then there's NRG Arena, which is a smaller arena that's right next door, and NRG Center, which is a massive convention center that's also right next door. And then all of the parking lots and areas around that whole campus all becomes the rodeo. And events are there. There's a huge carnival. There's everything. It's the largest livestock show and rodeo in the world. So there, I am one of 35,000 volunteers that work there.
Yeah, I know someone who's going next weekend to the Houston rodeo.
Yeah.
So
it's a big thing, man. Yeah. It's a big thing.
I need to probably try to make it down. I've never been.
I can get you in for free too.
There you go. We'll work on that.
We'll work on it. Yeah. If not this year, then next. Put it on the books. Put it on the books.
Yeah. Put it on books.
Anyway, Matt.
You know what?
What did you do this weekend?
What did I do this weekend? Nothing.
Nothing.
Watched.
You saw something that we'll talk about later in the pod.
Yes, yes. I did go to the cinema this weekend.
But I really had a pretty low key. I went and I watched some Baylor basketball.
All right. Was it
And
some good basketball,
it
man?
was some great basketball. The Kansas Baylor happened on Saturday, which is, it was noon, which threw me off because normally the early games are 11, but this was on ABC, so it was actually noon Central time, so I was all out of whack. But yeah, it was a good game.
I was very much working while the game was going on. But like again, I'm a volunteer, so it's nobody's gonna get mad at me for peeking at the game every 5 minutes or so just to check. And so that's kind of what I was doing, was I was checking the score. And then for about the last, I want to say 3 minutes of clock time on Saturday, I just stood over in a corner and just watched the end of the game on my phone.
Yeah, I mean that game, like Eve Missy was just like played so good.
Yeah, so tell me
And
about it. As somebody that didn't really get to focus and sit down and watch it, and kind of like I was following it a lot through Gamecast on ESPN. So when I would
yeah.
see like, and again, it would be like every 10 minutes or so I would look down at it. I would see these fluctuations in score. And so I would go to the play-by-play in the ESPN app,
Well,
and I would see like, okay, this is where the run was made. But tell what was your experience actually watching the game?
my take was like you would see that. I think in this game, like you saw like Baylor when they're playing at close to their best. They're one of the best teams in the country. Kansas is a good team. Like they were number 17 coming into that game in the AP poll for a reason. Regardless of what, kind of like how they've done in the conference, it's a tough conference. So you're gonna get some losses. It's not the same Big 12 Kansas is used to. So that's just part of it. They're still a good basketball team. They're a well-coached basketball team. All that's the same. They get the good players. But you saw Baylor playing close to the best they can play, which I wouldn't say they played the best, but they were played really well. They're one of the best teams in the country, and they have two of the best young players in the nation. I'm right now thinking like Jacoby Walter, Eve Missy, they're both going to be like lottery picks.
For
So.
sure, they will be.
And so, like, you're gonna extend that streak of Scott Drew having a top 16 pick. Like, he's like for the last 3 years, I think he's had a top 16 pick in the NBA draft. So, and that's just gonna extend. Got two more coming out this year. I'm just impressed by Missy because of the maturation he shows from week to week and how he gets better. And like, I was watching a video that they released, Baylor Athletics. This past week, we're like he started playing basketball in mid 2020.
Yeah, he's smooth, dude.
It was
He
it's
knows what he's doing.
2024. In the middle of 2020, he picked up the game of basketball. And right now he's probably one of the best big men in the country in college basketball.
Man,
And
Scott Drew's
so
ability to coach big men. Like, I don't even know if we actually give him the credit he deserves. Like, the dudes that he has taken that you wouldn't think were going to be elite. And then he turns them into elite players. He recruits great wings. You look at the biggest and baddest and best recruits that Scott Drew has brought on campus, it's mostly wings. But he finds a way to turn Quincy Acey into an NBA player, a Corey Jefferson, a Jonathan Motley, even Mark Vital,
Freddie
and
Gillespie.
now Eve Misi. These guys that think back to even Epe Udo, right? Like these guys that were not, they were not looked at as like, these are the
Well,
elite,
no, and like a
kind of
player
players. And he turns them into great big men.
and like you take like Freddie Gillespie, who was like I think a D, I mean, was he a
Yeah,
D
there
three
you go.
player, and then he developed into one of the best like basketball players Baylor in that era, and so yeah, he does a great job, and it was just you look at it, and I was having a conversation with a buddy the other day, like. He probably could stay another year and develop more and get even better, but you're going to be a top 10 pick. You're going to probably be a top 10 pick. So I would not ever advise anyone to stay in school if they had that.
Especially not in basketball. That's almost like a red flag. It's like, why is he staying?
So he's going to be one. He's going to put muscle on. He's going to get better at basketball. We've seen him get better at basketball from when the season started to now. So as he like matures into his body, he's still 19 years old.
If we're going to talk about Misi, I also want to bring up Ojanwuna. Like,
yeah, he's also gotten better.
So like compare who he is right now. So like, I'll transition. Like, not only did we beat Kansas, we had a huge win last night. We're recording on Tuesday. So last night on Monday, massive win against Texas. I did get to watch every second of that one, Matt.
You know, and a fun fact about the Texas game? My daughter was born in 2009. She's never lived in a world where Texas is better at Baylor basketball. In that time span, Baylor has a 23-10 record against Texas.
Ooh, buddy.
In her life. Her life. She'll be 15 next month.
But, man, Ojanwuna put on – he had that one screen, dude. That was so, so great. But
I know. And that's a –
it's so night and day from last year where it was like, okay, you know, oh, this guy's going to be a project, big man. And now it's almost like if he was our starter, I wouldn't be upset. It's
even
just
earlier in
so
the year.
Good.
Even earlier in the year, like he was, I would watch, he'd come in the game and I was like, well, this is a liability. He's going to have a turnover. It's like he's always surprised when he gets the ball. But even from then, earlier in the year, now you're like, he's playing so much better basketball in March, which is the time you want to be playing your best basketball. And it just, you're encouraged going into the Big 12 tournament, which me and Matt talked about last week, is kind of less important for teams like Baylor. But definitely when you go into the NCAA tournament, you want to be playing at the level that Baylor is playing at right now.
Look, a couple things. First off, Scott Drew has won everything there is to win in college basketball, except for his conference tournament.
So, never won a Big 12 tournament.
Never won it. We've lost it three times, maybe four, three. I think it's just three.
He's won two national tournaments.
But he's never won that. So it is important. And my other point I want to make is a couple of weeks ago, you and I were recording and basketball wasn't in the state that it is in today. And we specifically called out a player on the team. And we talked about, like, we didn't really want to, like, be mean or anything, but it was like, this guy's just not doing it right now. And that was Ray J. Dennis. And,
yeah.
Holy shit, Matt. That dude, like, I think it was after the Kansas game, something clicked in him.
He went and watched that tape. He had
like,
a bad game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, terrible game.
Yeah, terrible.
I think he went back and watched that tape and realized, like, nah, never again. I'm not letting that happen again. And suddenly it's like he relishes the big moment. He feels so much more confident and mentally tough. He's like, I don't know what it is about the guy, but he really is the driver, I think, at this point, where it's like, if he is on and he plays well, I'm not worried. In that Texas game, and this isn't recency bias or hyperbole here, or, you know, revisionist history. I legitimately at no point in that game really was that scared, because I was like, okay, cool. Like, there's no, like, they can't do this for 40 minutes. Texas can't do this for 40 minutes.
That's the weirdest thing. I was the same way. Like, at halftime, they were down however much they were down.
8 points at halftime.
I was like,
oh, dude, it's done. They had a nine-point lead, and it's the same.
I was like, oh, Baylor's going to come out and, like, make a run and take this game over. I'm like, I was not concerned at any point during that game.
Like, there was a small bit of concern with, I think, about 17 minutes left in the second half, where it was like, okay, like, maybe A-Smith just is going to do this the whole game. And then we kind of adjusted our defense, put a little bit more pressure on him, and said, Tyrese Hunter, everybody else come and beat us. We drew enough fouls to get into the double bonus really early. And I was just like with about 12 minutes left in the second half, I was like, we're winning this game. Like, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when
I thought the same way.
Start missing multiple shots in a row.
The only time I maybe thought, like, well, maybe we won't win this game was early when it was like 30-20. I was like, well, Maybe.
Not even then, dude.
It but was then like, when I saw it halftime, like, it's like, oh, okay. We've cut it to eight. It's single digits. I was fully confident that Baylor would be able to come back and at least tie. We've seen it too many times this year.
Yeah, this team doesn't
we're like
quit. Yeah.
And we took their best shot. We're going to come out. We're going to play our game. We're going to make our adjustments. We're going to come back.
It's one of those things where it's like, you have to beat us for 40 minutes because we can score. Or even when we have those times where we like have a 6-minute drought where we don't score, it's like, okay, well, the other 34 minutes we're scoring at a rate that is so much higher than the average team does. So a lot of the time I'm like, even when we're playing terrible, it's almost just like, well, we're still pretty damn good.
Yeah,
I honestly though couldn't tell you how far I think this team will go in the tournament because they are volatile enough.
It's the widest range of.
We could beat anybody. Lose the first weekend. I think that's really what it is.
It's like we could lose the first weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
Or be in the final four. This is like it's like those are like your like the range of options you have.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's like. If I will say this, definitely if Baylor plays like the second half against Houston or how they've played this past week in the tournament, I would probably lean more towards closer to the Final Four than losing the first weekend.
Oh, yeah. They are playing their best basketball of the year right now.
In the most opportune time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like they have, I was watching, like, was it like John Rothstein had, he tweeted out that Baylor has like Texas. Or had Kansas, Texas, and Texas Tech left. And they have a chance to add two more, like, quad one wins to their resume. And they already have seven. And so he was like, that's a two – you're a two seed. Like, he's, like, on board. Like, Baylor's a two seed in the tournament. And so then you beat Kansas, you beat Texas. So now you just have to finish up with – have another quad one win with Texas Tech. And yeah,
we talked about this before the pod. It's an important game. It really is.
It's a huge game. I mean, yeah, go through it about the like right now we're sitting in the third seed in the standings.
Correct. So we're sitting at 11-6 overall in Big 12 play. In third place, Houston's going to win at 13-3. Iowa State's 12-4. It's technically still possible that Iowa State could win the conference, but they won't. So Houston's going to take it in their first season here. But what's important is, as we've talked about on the pod, getting one of those top four seeds is what gets you a double bye, essentially, and in the Big 12 tournament. You want to be in the top four. It's the easiest path to winning the Big 12 tournament. But with us sitting at 11-6 in third place, there are three teams behind us sitting at 9-7. So one of those is Texas Tech, who we play. Tech is playing tonight. They were winning handily last time I looked. Let me look right now. They are playing at Oklahoma State. And the score is, yeah, they're up by 19 points with 9 seconds. Okay, the game is over. They've won by 19. Or so 17. It looks like Oklahoma State scored a shot at the
buzzer. 10-7. So
yes, that puts Texas Tech one game behind us, which means they could tie us if they beat us this weekend.
And if they split because we've already beat them earlier in the year.
Right.
If they beat us on Saturday, yeah.
If Kansas wins out, which they're playing Kansas State tonight, and that score, let me pull it up for you. How are they doing right now? Kansas is currently up by 8 points on Kansas State with 5 minutes left in the first half. So if Kansas wins that one, they play. Who does Kansas play to close out their year? U of H. So that's actually a pretty big one on the road.
Yeah, probably.
So we would hope Kansas loses that one.
Yeah.
And then BYU is the other team that you have to worry about. They're sitting at 9-7 right now too. So if BYU were to win out, they would be able to also create like a three-way tie with Baylor and Texas Tech if we were to lose this weekend. And yeah, BYU,
which we split with both of those games,
Oklahoma State, but they do play at Iowa State, so looks like Iowa State, then it's a moot point. We'll get one of the top four seeds guaranteed. But still, you want you really, really want to beat Texas Tech, solidify yourself in that three spot. A 12-6 year in the Big 12 this season, that's an 8. 12-6 is insane.
Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, you definitely want to get that.
Did I lose you, Matthew?
Can you hear me? I got you.
Yeah, I can hear you now. That was okay. Weird. Technical difficulties on the Bear Den, everybody.
Yeah. But yeah, like we talked about earlier, definitely want to lock down one of those top four seeds. It's like, because we talked about, you start off in the quarterfinals just from doing that. Get some rest. You know, I don't know what the situation is with Langston, but definitely rest would help to get him back for the NCAA tournament. I don't know if that's even a possibility. Yeah. Rest would be helpful, especially the kind of gauntlet that they've gone through the last half of their season. It's been a pretty difficult schedule. As it is for any Big 12 team, going through the Big 12 is going to be, you're going to be like baptized by fire, because you're going to, if you do make the tournament out of the Big 12, you've been like conditioned to play these type of games.
Yeah. The one thing week that can be true is officiating, though.
Yes.
Our officials are true. Different.
Yes. But as far as the play on the court, you've played some of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, so, 100%.
So,
do you know who also has some of the best teams in the country, Matt?
Who is that?
Our friends over at Charlie Hustle.
Yes. As always, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company. Charlie Hustle is a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best-dressed fan this season and in tournament season, so be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today and show off your school spirit all season long. With over 30 schools to choose from, they've got you covered with all your collegiate apparel needs, so shop today at charliehustle.com. And make sure you use promo code 10-12-15. That's good for 15% off all non-sale items. That's TEN1215 for 15% off all non-sale items. And if you are going to the Big 12 tournaments in Kansas City, I think there's a Big 12 and Charlie Hustle have kind of combined to have like a pop-up shop there at the Big 12 tournaments. So stop on by if you're there. And maybe you'll see Andy Mitt's pretty face, who's covering the tournament, part of the 10-12 podcast.
Yeah, network. There's going to be some 10-12 folks up there. Go say hey.
Yeah. And get you some good apparel. Yeah.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Anything you have your eye on, Charlie Hustle, recently?
It's getting to like the warm parts of the year, so like my favorite things are the hoodies and stuff, and I'm definitely not going to be ordering that. But I have not yet bought the Sailor Bear tee, which is weird because I have like the other like forward facing Sailor Bear.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the different angle Sailor Bear, and I have the stiff arm tee. I have both of those, but I don't have like the block letter sick on Baylor Bears standard Sailor Bear tee, and so I'm thinking I might need
so that one. You have the stiff arm one. They also have the forward facing just Sailor Bear head that says Sick and Bears.
Yeah, I have both of those. They're both yellow, and so I'm thinking about getting the green one.
The green one. And they have also the
green
kind of. They have the kind of like light heather green Sick and Bears with the new logo.
That one. Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
And then, like you said, you have the regular, the big block letter traditional Sailor Bear t-shirt, which I like that shirt too.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything with the new logo.
I have one shirt.
I really don't think I have anything with the new logo.
I have one shirt with the new logo. I have a bunch of Sailor Bear. I have a bunch of Sailor Bear stuff. I do love the Moonogram hoodie though.
Yeah, it's
That's
good.
Such a pretty hoodie. Anyway,
I'm getting the one with the new logo right now. Like, I'm actually gonna buy
it
right
now. Yeah,
just buy it right. Right, live on the pod.
Use a 10.
So you guys know, like, that we practice what we preach here. Like,
use the promo code and get 15% off.
That's what I'm doing right now. TEN1215. Apply. Here we go. 15% off.
And so we talked about the kind of the men's basketball side of it. The women's basketball, Big 12, they are starting their tournament in Kansas City on Thursday. So that they're done, and Baylor ended the season pretty strong, ended up with the 5 seed. So I thought we could just go through
in a 3-way tie. We should add it's
yes.
Through some tiebreakers, Iowa State got the 4, we got the 5, West Virginia got the 6. So every 3 teams finishing 12 and 6. I mean, it was, again, like the women's was very much like the men, where it's like you had a 15-3, a 14-4, a 13-5, 3 12-6s, and an 11-7. Like, that was the top. And then under that, it's like just a bunch of garbage.
Yeah. And speaking of garbage, the Thursday games are, you have the UF's 14 seed UCF takes on number 11 seed Cincinnati. And that is going to be on ESPN Plus, 8 p.m. And then the earlier game is the number 13 seed University of Houston takes on the number 12 seed Texas Tech. Though that the winner of that game will face Baylor on Friday at 11 a.m., which Baylor's beat both those teams handily previously. So I would assume that Baylor would be able to take care of business on Friday, and then they would take on Iowa State in the quarterfinals on Saturday.
Yeah, that's the most likely thing that will happen.
Yeah, and then the other – so who else? Oh, West Virginia got the other bye, so they'll play the UCF Cincinnati winner on that side of the bracket. So it ended up being the OU got the 1 seed, of course, followed by Texas, Kansas State, and Iowa State, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So yep. I don't know how that, I mean, I would think that Baylor is probably, you could probably like sharpen him into like the quarterfinals. Iowa State's going to be a tough matchup. They're pretty good.
We so only Baylor. Played so Baylor once this year. It was on the road and we lost by 3.
Yeah. But like I said, so Baylor's a good team too. They're playing pretty good basketball right now. Like we just talked about the men.
Yeah, I mean, they've won basketball. 5 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, they're going into their tournament playing good basketball. So you don't count out the Baylor women ever. So they have a good chance to make a run in the tournament, in the conference tournament.
Have not lost since they retired Brittany Griner's number. Just want to point that out.
Just point it out. Just letting you know what's going on.
Yeah, just 42 in the rafters.
And I think, hold on, I want to take just a saying. Look.
Just saying.
There's been some Baylor players already announced that they're coming back. I can't remember. So, like, we even, like, we're building towards, like, this is a good – we've talked about this since Nikki Collin came on, that it was, like, you're changing the offense. You're – just give her time to get, like, her players in there to do what she needs to do. Had a rough year. There's a last year, this year, we kind of showed – a lot of growth, and kind of you see like what
the number 17 team in the country.
Well, I know.
I know we have a higher standard at Baylor.
I know,
for
but
women's
I mean,
basketball than the average school does. But
yeah, we do.
They're pretty damn good.
No, I know, but I'm saying like that's what I said. Coming from last year, immense growth this year.
Yeah,
and so I think you would expect that to be even more pronounced going into next year, regardless of what happens this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, the future is like super bright for women's basketball. And Baylor wouldn't have it any other way. Like you said, like our standard is pretty high for women's basketball.
Yeah, our standard is
set and like, but it is it's March, Joe.
It's March. We'll sleep in April.
Yeah. So, and I kind of think I don't have a great grasp on the women's side as far as going to the NCAA tournament. So I don't know, like, wherever Baylor ends up as far as, like, seeding and side of the bracket and all that, I feel good about the chances to make a good run. I wouldn't necessarily know exactly how far, though.
Yeah, I mean, in this sport, there are very much haves and have nots, and like you have to be one of the top 1, 2, 3 teams in the country to truly have a shooter's chance. Of course, there are some variations and outliers in there, but yeah, I mean, Baylor absolutely can make a run to a Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight this year. I think Sweet 16 is probably the most likely, is where I would expect them to be. At the end of the day, though, like, nobody's beating South Carolina, so it you know, it'll be cool to get like, say, hey, we went this far in the tournament. Like, you never want to discount those kinds of things. But when it comes to like actually winning at all, I don't think there's anybody in the country that has a shot at actually beating South Carolina this year. I mean, they're 29-0. Nobody has the next best is like 4 losses. Yeah, like Stanford's number 2. They have 4 losses. Iowa's number 3. They have 4 losses. Ohio State's number 4. They have 4 losses. USC's number 5. They have 5 losses. But to give you an example, like, Baylor's beaten Texas this year, right? And Texas is number 6 in the country. So yeah, Baylor has the skill to do this and to win some games. I mean, they beat Utah early in the year when they were ranked number 4. Utah's now number 22, but still a really, really good team. So Baylor can absolutely get out of the first weekend. Getting out of that second weekend, though, is going to be real tough. But doable. I think this is a team, I would say their ceiling's probably Elite Eight. Expectation is Sweet 16.
All right, Joe, I got a question for you. I just thought about it. Since we're talking about women's basketball, I'm assuming you are familiar with Caitlin Clark.
I am.
Okay, so she's been setting a lot of records. I think this past week she passed Pete Maravich's scoring record. And so,
yeah, and we talked about last time you and I recorded together, we talked about the 3-pointers with Brittany Griner and everything.
Yes. And I think it's the same thing. It's like, and what I'm about to say, I don't want to take anything away from Caitlin Clark, because what she's done is in her time at Iowa is amazing. I don't know if it's equitable talking about Pete Maravich, though, considering.
Why not?
Considering, like, whenever the time that he played, freshmen couldn't play varsity basketball. So his points were in 3 years. And there was no 3-point line and no shot clock. So teams could just hold the ball as long as they wanted to.
Who's the home run champion in Major League Baseball?
The home run champion, Barry Bonds.
Okay. How many games did he play in a season?
162.
Very good. That's not as many as Babe Ruth when he hit 60, more than Babe Ruth than when he hit 60.
Yeah, played more games.
Yeah, you know, he played in more games. You know, there's like weather differences and
he played more games than Roger Maris when he hit 61.
Different stadiums.
Played the same. Well,
Roger Maris still played 162. But
he played. No, I think they did. They. Did he play 162?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that was the whole reason that they put the asterisk on Roger Maris's 61 for a long time.
You're right.
But
Babe Ruth played 164.
you know, I think we judge things by when they occur. And, you know, like Bill Russell has 11 NBA championships, but he was also not playing against dudes that were also 7 feet tall. He was the biggest guy on the court, but he still got 11 rings.
No.
So I give her credit. It sucks.
I give her credit, I agree too. With you. But I mean, I would say Pete Maravich is more impressive of a feat.
Maybe
because of the time.
I don't know what the benefit of that debate is.
Well, also, I don't know the benefit of having this conversation in the first place, because we don't do it with any other stat. Cross
like, I'll give you a great example that I think this is similar to you.
And we don't do it with assists. Different
because I know the women versus men thing is going to be a big deal for a lot of people. But yeah. one of the things that pops into my head is like Ichiro in baseball. All right. He played a long time in Japan before he came to Major League Baseball. Still huge milestone numbers that he put up while he played in Major League Baseball. 100% deserving of a Hall of Fame spot. But there was some debate for a while because he, technically speaking, broke the all-time professional hits record that was owned by Pete Rose. Now, Pete Rose owns the Major League Baseball hits record because Ichiro was playing in Japan. But across his time playing in Japan as a professional and playing in Major League Baseball in the United States of America, he hit more baseball. He got more hits than Pete Rose did in his career. And so there was like, oh, well, is that it? I'm like, yeah, that's just as impressive.
Different leagues, different rules, I would assume. The thing about the Caitlin Clark, to argue the other side of what I was saying earlier, is like the NCAA, it's the same league. You're just playing in a different division. You're in the women's side of the NCAA league, basketball league, Division I basketball league. You play Division I NCAA basketball. It's not like she's playing NAIA and they're doing it, or in a different league completely. You're playing in the same league as men's and his players. You're just in the women's division, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different than like Ichiro was playing in a completely different league than.
Still highly competitive.
Still highly competitive. I'm nothing to take away from Japanese baseball, but it's not the same league. So, I mean, I just wonder why we, I mean, I know why. I mean, it's a great story. It's one of those things, like, it's a thing with, like, media these days where there are people who are going to hate on Caitlin Clark for whatever reason. But that's going to still get you clicks on your articles or your videos or whatever you're doing, your podcasts. And there are people who absolutely adore her and are going to give you clicks on your articles, your videos or whatever. She drives traffic no matter which side you're on. So I know why they do it, but they don't do this with any, there's been women who have passed men's like assist records, but we haven't done the push for that record as being like, they passed Bobby Hurley or whoever the case may be.
So well, Caitlin Clark has a flash to her. Like she is, especially the way she scores. She does. She's a home run hitter. Man.
She's absolutely. I think the best comparison is probably Steph Curry, just because they're shooters. She's a shooter.
Yeah.
And
that's what people love to watch now. It's dunks and deep shots. Dunks and deep shots. If you do one of those two things, people will watch you.
You could argue she's the best shooter in college basketball ever. Just from her, what she's done. I mean, I said you could argue that. I mean, I think there's an argument to be had, like the way she shoots the ball.
No, you can't. I'm just trying to think of like who do I put in that pantheon.
I mean, the only person Steph, of course.
Pete Maravich.
Pete Maravich. He was, I would Larry say Bird. He's more of a scorer. Like Steph and Caitlin, like, you know, they're jacking up.
What about
logo?
I'm gonna hit you with a deep cut, Matt. What about the Jimmer?
Yes. He'd be another comparison because he's the same type of player. He's a
Adam
shooter.
Morrison.
Adam Morrison, shooter. Those are all
Ooh, that dude
shooters.
could shoot.
He could shoot.
Adam Morrison could shoot. I would love if you could get like prime college Adam Morrison and have him, Steph Curry, and like prime Larry Bird with Caitlin Clark, and they do a 3-point contest. Like you would make $100 million putting that on pay-per-view.
I would probably, I mean, of those, I think probably Larry's the best shooter.
You think so?
And maybe it's just like
Yeah, I would have loved Larry Bird's one of those guys
bias.
that like I can't imagine what it would be like to watch him play in this era.
I mean, and again, maybe I'm also like influenced by, I just watched the Winning Time, which he plays a role in that, especially second season. There's more Larry Bird in that. And maybe those stories are made up, but some of them, they have things they show about Larry Bird is like he was so
I think my
far ahead of his
favorite
time.
anecdote about him was like I can't, there was a game he was playing against somebody, and the guy that was like guarding him in the game told this story where like they passed Bird the ball, he went up to take a shot, the guy contested the shot, Bird nails it, and as they're running back down the court, like he looked at the guy guarding him and he was like, "I don't even know why you're trying, I'm not gonna miss." Like Larry Bird was like an S-tier shit talker. And that's
Oh
like
yeah.
Caitlin Clark, dude. Caitlin Clark's got like the Larry Bird vibes to her.
No,
Like,
Larry Bird would be like, here's what I'm gonna fake right, crossover left, drive to the basket, fade away, jumper. And he'd just tell you the defender what he's gonna do. Here's what I'm gonna do. And then he'd do it and score. My favorite Larry Bird anecdote is like when he left Indiana, and then when he was trying to get back on at I guess it was Indiana State, he went in to talk to the coach. And he played against their team, and he said he could outscore. He scored 30 on him, easy. And he did so. He was like in jeans and boots, and scored like 30 on their like starters, like with the second team guys.
he's from what, French Lick, Indiana, I
French
think.
Lick, Indiana, yeah.
Yeah. That's who Caitlin Clark might like. That's who I think that's an apt comparison. Like a lot of people compare her to Steph. She might be Larry Bird.
Yeah, and I don't think people should count her out when she announced she's going to the WNBA draft. So this is her last year. I don't think people were already like, and really it's talking heads and mostly men on cable sports channels talking about how like she's not going to do this in the WNBA. But I mean, I don't want to count her. I wouldn't count her out.
She's going to be the number one overall pick. She
She'd be
better
number one
be.
over
And
pick.
she's going to be a Hall of Famer. She's going to be in the Naismith Hall of Fame.
She's going to play like, who's the number one pick? Like Indiana Fever?
She could quit tomorrow and she's a Hall of Famer. Like, who cares? Like, if I'm Caitlin Clark, I think it's all hilarious. She probably makes more money than the majority of football players in NIL.
She probably makes more money than what she'll make in the WNBA as a
Oh,
salary
yeah. Oh
right
yeah,
now. Because I
she's if
think
she
she has
doesn't already,
endorsements
she's
with
gonna
like
have,
national companies.
yeah, she's gonna have like she'll have a Nike deal because she wears Kobe's on the court. I know that she wore because she was wearing, it was really funny. I have to tell you this. So like she wore some Bruce Lee's, which I don't know if you're a sneaker guy, but like the people like if you're into sneakers and I say she was wearing some Bruce Lee's, like you know what I'm talking about. They're black and yellow, all right. And there were some Iowa fans that were like, "Nike, why don't you put her shoes on sale?" And like all
Because
these people were like, "Yeah, those are like one of the most widely known shoes that Nike has ever made. Like,
yeah,
they're not special." Caitlin Clark, it was, it was.
that's like if someone was wearing like pandas.
Yeah.
It's like you know what this shoe is.
It's
Like everyone
like if
has the
you want her
shoe.
shoes, here you go to StockX. You can pay
Everyone has
$500
this
for them.
shoe.
But like, yeah, she's gonna be making seven figures to wear Bruce Lee's, like in the WNBA. She's not even gonna be wearing Bruce Lee's. She will have her own shoe in the WNBA. So I don't think she gives a shit
She will have her
what
own
some
shoe.
talking head thinks she's gonna do. She's gonna
No.
go in, she's gonna dominate just like she's dominated all through
Well,
college.
because I
The only
mean,
thing that she's, I think, gonna be disappointed in is that she did not beat Kim Mulkey this year because I don't think, again, nobody's beating South Carolina in my mind.
yeah. And I haven't really followed like LSU, but they're not this. They haven't. But I don't know. They weren't like on fire last year. They had a great run in the tournament,
Well, and they had
if I remember.
Angel Reese was kind of like Kemba, you know.
Oh,
And
Angel Reese is
basketball is a
still.
sport where you can have a guy or a girl, you know, take over a game.
Angel Reese is still there, so they could still make a run. I don't really know how they're doing, but yeah, I agree with you on South Carolina. I mean, they're just ahead above everybody
They're
else.
too good.
Yeah.
Now, maybe don't listen to us though, because I haven't been so good at making picks lately, Matt. So I've been hanging out using and playing around with our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks, we're going to talk about them one more time. One of our awesome 10-12 partners. The best legal way, Matt, to play daily fantasy on player props in states like California, Florida, Georgia, and of course, the great state of Texas. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All you have to do is select 2 to 5 players and an over-under on a projected stat line, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's fast, it's easy. Entries can be made in all like 60 seconds sometimes, man. That quick. They offer all kinds of different sports, college basketball. It's March Madness in full swing. You can check that out. NBA, the playoffs are around the corner in the NBA. That's not too far off, man. Major League Baseball is in spring training, so we're about to get that going. Soccer's in full swing. MMA, tons of other stuff that you can check out on there. If you use promo code BEAR12, BEAR12, you can get an instant 100% deposit match of up to $100. That's right, promo code BEAR12, and you can instantly get a full $100 match on your first deposit. Prize Picks is available online and in the App Store or on Google Play, so go check them out. Daily fantasy made easy.
There you go. I just placed a Prize Picks bet for the fourth quarter for a couple of players on the NBA. So, see how that goes.
Look at
For fourth
you.
quarter points, see how Kyrie does.
By the way, Kansas is currently up 7 still. Oh no,
So,
sorry, 8. I can't
okay.
tell. It says ESPN is showing me 2 different scores right now for this game.
Come
We got
on, ESPN.
okay,
Get your shit together.
41-33 is the correct score. They're up by 8 points at halftime.
Okay, 41-32. Yeah. About half. Okay, so there's a half to go. Kansas State's pesky, though. Like, they can come back and, like,
They
make
could.
this. Yeah. But they're on a bubble. Like, I was looking at the projections, bracketology, all that stuff today.
Yeah, they're probably not making it.
And, or I guess it was in Athletic. I read their article where, like, they had. Like locks probably in, and then you have like the bubble. The two bubble teams of Kansas State and Cincinnati are kind of both on the bubble.
Yeah, well, Cincinnati has Oklahoma in overtime right now, so on the road. Be a big win for Cincinnati if they could pull that one out.
Yeah, and I think if Cincinnati could pull that one out, and then finish have a win a couple maybe in the tournament, they could probably go from bubble to being like in the tournament pretty solidly.
Yeah.
Just because they're a Big 12 team. The Big 12 is where you can have 9 or 10 teams in the tournament. So,
Yeah, I think we'll have 9. I think that's kind of what everybody's projection is right
yeah.
now.
9 is the like in the Athletic article, they had like the, that's the locks and probably it. Those guys are all like, there's about 9 of them total.
Yeah.
And then you have the two like bubble teams. So we'll see. But yeah. So that's enough sports, Joe. Let's talk about what people came here for. And that is like, what have you been watching or reading or video games you're playing? What's been taking up your time other than the rodeo
So last week
recently?
I wasn't feeling well, right? But it was more like I couldn't really talk. I don't know if y'all can tell. My voice probably sounds pretty scratchy still. So that's one of the main reasons I didn't record last week. And then when I was going to try to record on Thursday, I ended up having to babysit for some friends. But there was a couple of nights last week that I did play some video games, Matt, and I played a new game called Helldivers 2. Have you heard of this game?
Yes. Think me and Matt may have talked about this
Oh, did
off.
y'all talk about it in the pod last
I
week?
don't know if we talked about it on the pod or off record. But so tell me more about it.
It is it's How's it going? Starship Troopers, the video game.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
It's a blast. It is a blast. If you have not played it, I do recommend. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. I played a few hours of some Helldivers like two nights last week. But overall, man, really, I have not had a whole lot of time to consume media. I know you texted me either Sunday or yesterday, and you said, have you seen Dune 2 yet?
Mm-hmm.
To which I replied, no, because I have not had any time. But you have seen it, and you I said it was it. Great.
I'm obsessed with this movie.
Yeah.
Like,
have you read the book?
I have read, and I'm reading right now, rereading it. And when I say I'm rereading it, I'm listening to it on Audible.
Okay.
But because I ain't got time to read right now. But I'm rereading it. But yes, I have read the book. And then after I reread Dune, I'm gonna read Dune Messiah, which I haven't read.
Oh, it gets weird, man.
I don't know. I've caught, you know, like enough of like internet discourse to know that it gets weird.
It gets weird.
I've looked at some Wikipedia pages, so. But yeah,
and this it should hold a place in your heart because Star Wars doesn't exist without Dune.
Yes, and I've seen a lot of that too, like online, where it's like, it's not a like one for one.
No, but it was very thematic, very much inspired George Lucas.
Very much inspired. It's not thematically inspired because it's a completely different. Because we're really like, well, let me just.
I mean, I don't know.
Spoilers for Dune.
Orphan in the desert with secret ancient powers to save a group of people.
Yeah, but it's like, but spoilers for Dune, the book. You've read the book, right, Joe?
Yes.
But I mean, he's very much like an anti-hero. Paul Atreides. He's not like Luke Skywalker. He's not like
an anti-hero.
Yeah, he becomes. Yes, he's very much an anti-hero. He is on the verge of being a villain. His path is more of Anakin, not Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but at the same time, he's like put in just like an like impossible.
He commits
situation.
Like genocide.
You know, debatable.
Like he kills like 61 billion people.
Look.
So it's like he is not a hero of the story. And the whole like theme, I think, of what Frank Herbert was getting at was like these like Messiah themed stories, right? And putting, you know, it's kind of like a bigger like commentary on that. But even in like the textual evidence of the book, like you could see like Paul Atreides is going down a certain path. It doesn't lead to being the hero.
Yeah, I guess it's just because like like the Harkonnens are just so like Tolkien
no,
level
true.
Evil.
The Harkonnens are like completely cruel, horrible people.
Yeah, they're like proud super Hitlers.
Yeah, like
whereas like Paul actually kind of is like, I think what I'm doing is bad.
He starts off with absolutely like, I think, noble intentions.
Right. Yeah.
But
and then it's almost quickly devolves.
Quickly devolves into like, okay. So that's how they're going to play. That's how we're going to play. I can play that game too. And
so that's the problem is like, you are correct that he's an anti-hero.
But he's also like manipulating all these people and murdering billions of people.
But like he's not as bad as the bad guys, which is crazy to think.
Yeah,
because like the Emperor is even worse than him. Like a spoiler alert, by the way. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know how this is portrayed. But
it's
in the
all
book,
it's all about like in the pursuit for power or to keep power. Then the Emperor, like, yes, Harkonnens. Harkonnens, especially because they're like absurdly evil. Like, they don't care who they kill or hurt. They just want to keep their money, their guns. They're like the worst. They're like, they're like, if the seven deadly sins were personified, they're the Harkonnens. Like, that's it. And the emperor just wants to keep his place and power in this universe. And he doesn't,
the whole point of the story is all about power. Jealous. That's literally
jealous. Like, and you have the Atreides who are like, they have a moral code of how they live their lives and how they view things. And the emperor is scared of them because people follow them and they have a certain way about them. So that's why they get targeted. It was all a setup for them to go to Arrakis to take over the spice mining. Which, speaking of Star Wars, like, George, you could have called it something other than spice. I mean, the Kessel spice mines in Star Wars, spice mines of Arrakis. I mean, come on. It's the same thing. The drug in each universe is spice.
No, but what do they call it? What is are they death sticks in Star Wars? What is that? What is the dude trying to sell Obi-Wan?
I don't know.
In Attack of the Clones?
Yeah. I forget.
When Obi-Wan uses the Force.
I would say this though. After watching Dune 2, like, man, they really fumbled the the whole Anakin story in the prequels. Because this movie is amazing. This path of Paul is how it's portrayed. But also, like, I guess the director, what's his last name? Villeneuve?
Yes.
So he's like, he's the best director making movies right now? Is that what we're doing? Is that where we're at with him?
Visually speaking, probably.
I mean, have you gone through like his last, like his chain of movies that he's gone through, like his last like seven movies?
Oh, I mean, he's elite.
He's like
Denis Villeneuve.
He's like it's him and like Nolan, like combating.
Yeah, he had Arrival, right? Didn't he?
Well, it's like since 2013, Prisoners, Sicario, Arrival, Blade Runner 2049, Dune, and Dune Part 2. Like, there's not a bad movie in that bunch. Those are all good movies. I mean, like, bangers, all of them.
Yeah, he has a philosophy about filmmaking that he doesn't like dialogue in movies, and he feels like dialogue is a crutch. Like, he didn't even explicitly say like exposition. He says dialogue, like, which you'll notice like a lot of his, all those movies that you named are not focused on the words that are spoken, but are much more like emotionally acted out, and he tells stories through visuals, and I think that's what makes him so good, is that he's not out here trying to like write the perfect movie. He's constantly trying to shoot the perfect movie, and that's the philosophy that he has. I was actually reading about him not too long ago, and that's like,
yeah, one of the things I heard that quote, and I love some good dialogue. I'm not gonna lie, I love a good like soliloquy. So, but after watching this film specifically, but also I've seen other of his films, he does an amazing job at what his vision is for a film. This movie does look absolutely amazing. And when you have the Hans Zimmer score with the top tier acting, we can talk about everyone going through this. Like, it's just, it's right now. I know it's March, but this is, has to be the best film that's come out in 2024. Absolutely.
I have a very important question for you, because I don't remember if they say it in the first movie. So I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
Because I have the symptom of, I had a lot of friends that are like this, that like read a lot of books, but they wouldn't hear words. So they would only read them.
Okay.
So you'd like, you don't know how it's actually pronounced. You just have how you think it's pronounced in your head. How is Lisan Al Gaib pronounced in the movie? Is that how it's pronounced? Is that how it's pronounced?
Lisan Al Gaib.
Okay. All right.
That's how it's pronounced.
Got it. That's what I've always had it in my head as, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, just like it's Muad'Dib Lisan Al Gaib. So, yeah, you got it right.
Look
It's
at
a
me. Look at me,
look at you.
man.
It's a the cast is loaded. I mean, even like I wasn't the biggest like Austin Butler like fan. I didn't watch the Elvis movie, so I can't speak to that. But I've heard people who have who liked it, and it's been kind of made fun of like his whole like voice changing with that movie. But he does an amazing. He is a good actor. I have to say, like he's a good actor. He does an amazing part of this villain role with Fade. Is it Rotha? Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. So he does it great. It's really like he's very menacing and like it's just great. So everyone does a good job. So yeah, I would definitely say go see it. I'm gonna go see it again because there's parts of the movie that I just want to see again because it was so good. So I'm gonna go and see the movie again probably sometime this week. So,
Yeah,
and
I would love to go see it again
it's just
or
so
go see
good.
it at all.
If you're gonna see this movie, you have to see it in theaters to do it justice.
Oh yeah, I mean that's I
You
want
have
to
to.
go see it.
Don't watch this at your home for the first time. I would say if you can go see it in like IMAX theater, if not, try to see it on the biggest screen you can see it on.
Yeah, I
Because
mean
it's
I'm gonna
that
when I may
visually
do,
like breathtaking.
I may try to go see it on like Saturday night. I might try to do that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's see if we can get a late showing on Saturday night, Matt. Ooh, we can. We can. We can get a real late showing on an Onyx theater. Ooh, okay. I'm gonna have to do that. Might have to go Saturday because I have a babysitter on Saturday night.
There you go.
And I was gonna be at the rodeo, but I'll be off. I should be off by like 7 on Saturday night.
Yeah. I went to like
I
a
don't.
Sunday matinee. I mean, it's a long movie. I'm not gonna sugarcoot it. It's like
Well, yeah. I mean, the
two and a
first one's
half
a long one
hours.
too.
Yeah. I guess what made it long is like the pre movie, like not even just like the trailers, which there's some good trailers. It's like all the like the pre stuff that starts like whenever the movie's supposed to start. Like my
Yeah.
showing was like 12:20.
Did you get the Dune popcorn bucket?
No, I did not get that. It's $25.
Well, I mean, it's
I'm not.
multi-use.
Yeah. No, I did not. I did not get the Dune popcorn bucket for a myriad of reasons. And one of them is that it's $25 and I don't need to be fisting my popcorn while I try to enjoy it.
What do they call the worms?
What?
What do they call the worms? Hold on.
Well, like it's like they're like
Hold on. The Shai Hulud. That's right. Makers.
Yeah, which I've watched too many videos about breaking down Dune stuff. Like I'm obsessed with Dune right now after I watched this movie. And yeah, the Shai-Hulud, like the sandworm, yeah. So
It's
like
been a long time since I've
I
read the book.
watched a video about people like breaking down like the physics of how they move through the sand because they don't like slink like a worm. And they don't move like a snake, so the only option is they ingest sand and then shoot it out their back end
What do you think spice
to
is?
propel them forward, like jet fuel.
Yeah, that's what the that's how they make the spice, bro.
So spice is just like worm
It's worm
shit.
shit.
And it gets you high.
And it lets you see the future.
As you see the future.
so that you can fly ships around the universe. I mean, I love how in all reality,
and this is our world. This was
allegory to the Middle East.
I forgot this. And then
if you go read like this, if you go read like a lot of interpretations, like it's very much like this is the Middle East, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I take some umbrage to that because maybe, but it is a different planet. So it's not necessarily the Middle East. And that's mainly because there is like a movement online, if you've seen, of like boycotting Dune because of what's going on in the actual Middle East right now. But
by the way, per Frank Herbert, the book contains ample references to quote Middle Eastern and Islamic culture.
It does, but it's not on Earth.
No, but it's like Tolkien was very much inspired by like Catholicism. Like there's a lot of Catholicism inspiration.
I would say he's definitely inspired by the cultures. For sure. No doubt about that. The one thing that struck me, and I forgot about this when I read it the first time, is like this is like our history. This is like 10,000 years in the future of Earth and humanity. Yes. This isn't like Star Wars is like a galaxy far, far away. No, this is like this is us.
Yeah, this is like if Terminator happened and we won.
Yeah, because there's something called like something uprising where they like get rid of computers because they start taking over and AI and all this stuff. That's why there's no computers, and so you have the Mentats who are like human computers, and they get kind of like,
and that's why they need the spice, because they can't use computers to navigate the universe.
Use the spice for like intergalactic travel, like instantaneously between systems.
Right, because essentially what the spice does is it allows the pilots of the ships to be able to see into the future, so that way they know if they travel at the speed of light, they're not going to, like, if they take a certain path, they're not going to go through a star, essentially. Like, what the computers in a Star Wars ship do is what the spice allows a person to do. So that's the reason why it's used. Ta-da. God, you're right. I am the nerdier one. Damn it.
Well, I wonder, like, by this point, no one's listening anymore. We've talked way too much about Dune for anyone to actually still be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, and I haven't even seen the movie. I've just read the book.
Yeah, and we're so, like... And like I said, like because of this movie, I've like it's like reinvigorated like a passion for like Dune that I never.
You're just
had
happy
before.
To talk to somebody about it, aren't you?
I am. I've just been
Has
listening
Scott
to
Scott Spain Smith seen it yet?
I don't know.
Scott, go see the movie and talk to
him. I'm
gonna
have to take him.
I know you're listening.
I really do love this film.
Scott, go see it. I know you're listening before this weekend, Scott. Go see it with Matt this weekend. I'm telling you. There you go. I got you a moviegoer. Right.
There you go.
All right. I think we're good.
I think we're good.
We've rambled.
Matt,
where can people find you, and where can they find the podcast?
All right. Find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Matt_Workman, and the podcast at The Bear Den Pod on Twitter and TheBearDenPod.com.
TheBearDenPod.com. And you can find me, Matt, on Twitter at @the_Joe_Goodman. You can also find me, once the rodeo ends, I'm going to start writing more stuff. But you can find me on rdailybears.com, the Our Daily Bears Discord, or in the 1012 Discord, which is a part of the Wide Right Natty Light Discord. We have a 1012.
Not a part of the White Knight anything. It's Wide
Right Natty Light. Run by Levi
Discord.
Stevenson.
Yep.
So... come check us out there. Matt and I are active. You can come say hi.
Active.
And we'd be more than happy to chat with you.
Yeah, there's a on Arlie Bears, I know there's a movies section.
I haven't seen it yet. I need to go check it out.
So we talk about movies. I put in there like I'm seated for Dune. Dune 2. Part 2.
To Dune, to Duning.
To Dune, to Furious.
Dune 2, the Dunening. Dune 2, yeah. Electric Dunaloo.
Dune 2. Back to the sand. I don't know.
All right, Matt.
All right.
Until next time.
Sick'em Bears.
Sick'em Bears.
Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.